Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Today, Jesus. One verse of scripture, Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 11. Paul writing to the church. You know, it's always great when you're reading letters to pay attention to who Paul's writing to. And of course, his letters were always to the saints. So saints have to perk up and listen and get these instructions from Paul. He said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And today I'm going to talk to you on this thought, the closer I get to home. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for the illumination that it brings. And Lord, thank you for this truth that sanctifies us. Let us hear what the Spirit would say today, God. Let our hearts be touched by it and encouraged, strengthened, challenged. Whatever we need today, God, I know that your word will not return void. We thank you for that today. Bless us for just a little while to hear this truth in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord real good before you're seated this morning. God's good. God is good. This thought actually is a thought that I've had for a long time, but it's been a thought that I've lived with for the entire time that I've been in church, because I used to hear my pastor talk about this a lot of times. The closer I get to home. But I was thinking about that the other day, a while back, actually, and just I began to think on some things that he talked about. He used to give advice to a family, and then oftentimes at camp meeting as well. But there was a family that lived. They had been in his church for a while. They had to move to Ohio, I believe it was, just for work. And they would come home because they kept their homes and stuff in Conyers. And so they would come home and they would call him to tell him, we're driving down, we'll be in service this week. And he would always tell them, the closer you get to home, be careful. And when they would leave to go, he would tell them, the closer you get to home, be careful. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I just began to look some things up, and there was a survey done by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And just listen to some of these statistics. Approximately 52% of all car accidents occur within 5 miles of home. 77% within 15 miles of home. Often it is because being familiar with roads often leads to complacency, distraction. Sound kind of spiritual, doesn't it? Or people speeding because they're comfortable on this road on daily routes. You are twice as likely to have an accident 1 mile away from your home than 20 miles away. And accidents that cause serious injury or death happen within a 25-mile radius of homes frequently. The reason is that people will let their guard down is when they are in their own neighborhood. 43% of accidents occur before you have driven 10 minutes from your home. 25% happen within 3 minutes of leaving your home or your work or wherever you're at. So being familiar and being distracted is something that we have to be careful of when we're driving. And that's what Brother Everhart would tell those people. He said, when you get here and you think, well, I'm in my hometown, be careful and pay attention, because it's easy to just think, I know where I'm going, and be distracted. And then he would many times turn that to the saints and say, as we get closer to home, it is very important that we are careful the closer we get to home, that we don't become complacent in this walk with God, that we don't think that we're so familiar with church and the ways of church and familiar with Scripture that it just becomes just old hat and an everyday thing, and it's just, we know it's there, and we just start doing our own thing, looking in the other direction when we ought to be following Him, because we are on a journey. We have been called to follow Jesus, to take up our cross daily, walk by faith, and follow Him. And if we want to have the testimony that Paul, the one who wrote this verse, if we want to have this testimony that he said of himself in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Then we must wake up and give attention to what matters the closer we get to home. And so Paul said, knowing the time, do you know what time we are in? I believe that we are in the end times. I can't give you a number of years, how long the end times will be, but I do believe that we are closer now than we have ever been to the coming of the Lord. You know, the fact being is that every moment that you breathe, you are closer to the coming of the Lord, either Him descending to gather His church or you taking your last breath. I mean, that's just the fact. We are closer with every heartbeat to meeting Jesus. I know, well, that's just strong. That's just black coffee this morning. It's just, that's espresso. That's double shot. But it's the truth. And we need to know the time that we're in and recognize that it is not time to relax, not time to put it on cruise control. I saw some yesterday, I believe I saw a post riding in one of those cars that drives itself. I think Sister Bell was, they were in one of those cars that it just drives. Nope. I don't know what it is with people in this world today that they think, oh, I'd rather just let somebody drive for me. I couldn't wait to drive when I was growing up, and I still like it. And I'd rather have my hand on the wheel than trust the computer in my car to keep me from dying. And, you know, I want to make sure that I understand what time I'm in. I don't want to get on cruise control in this last hour and be so confident in where that I just know where I am and have that arrogance that I'm just, I've said it before, we don't believe in once saved, always saved, but a lot of people live like it. And we need to be paying attention to what is important. We need to keep our eyes on the road. We need to pay attention to where we are and watch. And I'm guilty. I'm telling you, I was thinking about this as I was studying and going over it about getting closer to home. And I realize that sometimes when I'm on my road that I drive with peripheral vision, because I'll look at anything else, but I know I can pass that mailbox. I know I'm fixed to be at my house, and I'll start slowing down before I see my driveway. I'm not even looking. Sometimes I'm texting somebody. Yep, that's right. I have texted people when I'm driving. You have too, so don't even act like you hadn't. But you're trying to find a radio station or turn a podcast on or do something with your phone trying as you get ready for your drive. That's distracted. You know, it's amazing the things that people want to do while they drive. I mean, it's amazing the things that people want to do while they drive. They leave in enough time from their house to get to work. They say, I'm going to leave in enough time so I can fix my hair in my car on the way to work, so I can change my shirt. People changing clothes while they're driving. fixing their makeup, curling your eyelashes. I quit doing that. But just, it's, you know, eating their breakfast. I'm talking about people with a, I have been, drive, believe me, when I worked for ADT and would drive and I'd be on 285, I have seen people with a bowl and a spoon on 285 eating whatever they were eating on 285 in that traffic. And it's amazing that we just think we can do all this and drive and not kill ourselves or somebody. And it's amazing what people think they can get away with in this walk with God, and that it's going to still be all right. We are living in serious times. We are living in a day that the Lord could come at any time. We could leave this world at any time. Nobody knows when an accident is going to come. You just don't know. You could be doing, my mother would tell you just a few years ago, about 4 years ago, I think she had that accident on her way home on a Wednesday night. Driving home like always, wasn't her fault. Somebody tried to shoot across, and before you know it, there you are. You're in a collision. It happens in the blink of an eye. Well, he's coming in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. That's how serious it is that if we're not paying attention, will we be ready when he comes? Are we going to be ready when the trumpet sounds? Are we going to be ready when we take our last breath? If it's that way, you don't want to be struggling at the very end trying to pray, trying to get things right. Then you, friend, live your life now. It's high time to awake out of sleep. When you're asleep, it's a dream world. When you're asleep, you don't recognize things. When you're asleep, you don't know things. If you're a heavy sleeper, and ain't nothing worse than trying to drive when you're so tired. Have you ever fallen asleep driving? I have. I was coming home one day in the middle of the day, had been up all night, and got up that day to head home. I was coming from Georgia Southern University, and I was on 16. That time of day, nobody was on it. The sun was out. It was hot. And I was just riding, driving down the road. Man, I was so sleepy, so tired. And nobody, you know, nobody was on 16. It was just a wide open road. So I'm flying. I had that sports car ahead of time. Man, I was cruise control. I was on 80. And I saw, you know, cars way off. And next thing I looked up, and there was a car about from here to the sound booth. Because I had been asleep that long driving. The car, thank goodness, it had that tight suspension. It just stayed straight. But all of a sudden, the car that was just a dot in the distance was that close, and I'm 80 miles an hour. And, man, I hit the brake, and I pulled off. I got out of the car and was slapping myself in the face. And I said, man, I'm going to die. So I pulled off the next exit, got like two Mountain Dews and was chugging them and was trying to get anything. Because back then, I didn't drink coffee. And so I was like, I got to do something to wake up. But that's the worst. But just if I'd have been stayed asleep about another 2 seconds, I would run all up into the back of it. That's how it can happen. And we can get comfortable and settle back and be like, I know where I'm going. I know I'm headed home, and fall asleep. But Paul said to the saints of God, it is high time to awake. It's time to get your awareness. It's time to get your bearings. You know, when you first wake up, it's hard. You know, sometimes you got to get your bearings. And that's what Paul said. He said, church, realize where you are. Realize the time, because now, in this moment, is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And let me tell you, the closer I get to home, the more attention I want to pay. I want to be making sure that I am prayed up. I want to make sure that I have repented, that I've got myself clear. I want to make sure that I am doing the work that God called me to do. I want to make sure that I'm spending time with Him and not being wrapped up in the world. I don't want to be a distracted driver and not make it to where I need to be. Thank you, son. I want to make sure that I can say I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I have kept the faith. I didn't just know about the faith. I kept it. I kept it. When they would keep the Sabbath or something in the scripture, they'd keep that those feasts. That means they were there. They attended them. They did all the things that were required. If they were going to keep the Passover, that means they were making preparations. They didn't just show up and say, well, I know it's Passover today, and I'll just show up and everything will be ready. They had to do what they had to do. And if I want to keep the faith, then I've got to keep doing what faith requires me to do. I got to keep walking by faith. Come on, somebody. I gotta keep on praying in faith. I gotta keep on living for God. I gotta keep telling others about this great faith that saves people's soul. We must wake up, church. We must wake up and give attention to what matters, because we are getting close to home. The reality check for us every day, every moment in the book of Acts, it was still something, and in the letters, something that they preached and wrote to the church all the time. They wanted to make sure it never got too far out of their mind that the Lord is coming back, and we don't know when. That was at the very beginning, before the day of Pentecost, when they watched Jesus ascend into the clouds. The angel said, why are you just standing here looking up? He's coming back like he said. Get busy. Go do what he said. Go to Jerusalem. Do what he told you to do. Don't get caught daydreaming. Don't get caught staring at the sky. Don't get distracted trying to figure out when he's going to come back. Just know he is coming back, and be about your Father's business. In Mark chapter 13, in verse 33, Jesus said, take heed, watch, and pray. The word watch there means keep awake. Be vigilant. So he said, take heed. Stay awake. Don't fall asleep on this thing. And pray, for you do not know when the time is. Pray. Watch and pray. He said, if you want to be ready for that time, you better be praying. We can't forsake prayer. We don't need to forsake prayer meeting. We need to. I've said it. I wish that prayer meeting was the biggest service of the week. I would take prayer meeting over any service we have. But he said, if you want to be ready, watch, stay awake, stay vigilant, make sure you're paying attention, but make sure you are praying. He didn't say watch and have perfect attendance, watch and pay your tithes. He said watch and pray. We've got to get back to praying. The closer we get to home, we got to get back to praying. Prayer meeting has got to become important in our lives. Having our personal time of prayer has got to become important in our lives. He said, the reason you want to watch and pray is because the Son of Man is as a man who took a far journey, left his house, and he gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work. And then he commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house comes, at evening, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. He's telling everybody, stay awake, pay attention, don't fall asleep on this. God has gone. He came, he went, but he delivered to every man according to his work. He gave us all something to do for him when he left. Preach the gospel to every creature. Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Come on, somebody. God was all about us reaching other people, doing the things that he has done and doing greater things even than that. To continue adding to the church daily such as should be saved, to keep preaching this gospel and living this life, letting our light shine before men. People like to turn the lights off when they sleep, but he said don't sleep. He's not against natural sleep. We all need rest. He understands that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about on this walk, do not sleep. Do not let your walk fall asleep. He never sleeps. And this, on the spiritual side of things, we never let our walk sleep. We keep the light shining. We've got to keep the light shining. And he is coming back again someday. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? What should we be doing? We believe that he's coming. We believe that he's going to come back one day and get a church. We believe that this world is going to get worse and things are going to happen. So what kind of person should we be in all holy behavior and godliness? That word conversation, of course, it can mean the words you're speaking, but it means behavior. How should we be managing our time? How should we be behaving in this last day? What should we be doing to make sure we're ready when the Lord comes again? Because he will come back like a thief in the night. While people are asleep, slumbering in their bed, and suddenly you've seen those commercials about alarm systems, and the kids are asleep, the mom's asleep, and all of a sudden somebody kicks the front door in. And, that's how it's just suddenly, that can happen so suddenly that before you know it, someone's trying to come in. Something's trying to come in. Something's trying to distract you, but it's high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to get ourselves ready and realize we are closer now. The coming of the Lord is nearer now. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. When we were children, when we were infants, when we were babes in the Lord and we believed on Christ for the first time, praise God for it. But now is our salvation nearer. We are growing. We are maturing. And we've got to be responsible for our walk with God. We've got to pay attention to the things that matter. And now I could go on about the coming of the Lord, but the other thing here is this. We don't know how much time we have here. In James chapter 4, read it off the thing. In James 4 and 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And verse 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That scripture has a lot of meaning for me because it was the scripture that the Lord spoke to me the night I came to him. But here he said, you don't know what shall be on the morrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so today I better be right. I don't know if I've got tomorrow, so today I better make sure I've got it right. I don't know if I'll have tomorrow. Today I better pray. Today I better repent. Today I better straighten it out because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. There's a lot of people that got up one day and lived their life, and the next day thought it would just be the same, and it wasn't. We never know. We think back even in this country years ago on September the 10th, New York thought tomorrow will be just like any other day, but on the 11th, planes were crashing into the towers and lives were changed forever. I mean, this country was changed. The world was changed in a moment just like that. Well, a bigger event than 9/11 is coming, and it will be the coming of the Lord. And there'll be two in a field and one taken. There'll be two in a bed and one will be taken. Come on, somebody. Jesus is coming back one day, but our life is just a vapor. And it only appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away, and there's no bringing it back. It's over. And he says, so since we know we only have this time, and we don't even know when it is, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it's sin. Let me tell you, the wages are still the same for sin. The wages of sin are death. I know that's a sobering reality this morning, but sometimes we just need to wake up and smell the coffee. We need to realize that we are living in serious times and we don't need to be putting off tomorrow. Let me tell you, procrastination's destination is a lake of fire. Keep putting it off. Keep putting it off. And one day you won't be able to get it. Today, now is the time. Today is the day. Come on, somebody. This is what we need to be doing today because we do not know what tomorrow has. And I know that we do not know the time, our time, how long we will be here. I know we do not know when he is going to come back, but he did give us signs. He said, these signs, when you see these things happening, when you know all this is going on, it's just like we have landmarks that we recognize and we know we're getting closer to home. Well, the same way, when we see these signs of the time that are happening right now, there is a great falling away. People that served God and believed in this truth for years and years have turned their back on it and walked away. And I pray, God, they find a place of repentance and bring themselves back. But it's just happening everywhere. If you're on Facebook and social media, you know you've got friends of yours that are in church, and then one day you see them post something, and you're like, what has happened to them? And then you find out, and you'll know in a little bit, because once they leave, they start making posts. They're so free now. They came out of that cult. They came out of that bondage. They came out of these things, and oh, my goodness, it's heartbreaking to watch it happen, but it's happening in this world today. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, flood, pestilence, it's all happening just like Jesus said it would. It's coming to pass. These are the signs we have. And as we see these signs, we realize we are getting closer to home. We can't afford to be asleep at the wheel. We can't afford to be distracted. We've got to keep our eyes on the things that are important and make sure we are ready to meet the Lord when He comes, whether we die in Him or we are caught up, we want to make sure we are ready. And so there are these things that we need to pay attention to as we get closer to home. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 4 and 5, when they were asking the Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Don't start paying attention to the doctrines of men. Don't start paying attention to the podcast more than you do the Bible. Don't substitute prayer life for podcast or podcast for prayer life. Don't give up your Bible reading and Bible studying or your church attendance for online attendance. Get up, get to the house of God, get with the saints of God, get in the presence of God. Get in an altar, a real altar, where you can get down and pray, where people can pray with you. Stay faithful to the church. Do the things that Jesus said we ought to do. Don't let any man deceive you, telling you when they start saying you don't have to do that. I believe just like you do, and I don't have to do that. Let me tell you, maybe they don't want to do it, and so they're trying to tell you you don't have to do it. But you just let them go on their way, and you keep doing what you know is right. Don't turn your back on what called you out. Don't turn your back on what saved you. You know how He washed you from your sins and how He filled you with His Spirit. You didn't get that somewhere else. You didn't get that off a podcast. You didn't get that off live stream. You got that in the house, in the presence, somebody preaching the Word of God to you, laying hands on you and praying for you. This truth is still the truth. Whether the world believes it, doesn't matter who forsakes it. Paul would warn the church. He said, "If whether us or an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel, then let them be accursed." He said, "I don't care how spiritual they look. I don't care if it looks like a being from another world. If they tell you anything different than this gospel of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, resurrected, friend, if they tell you anything other than that, friend, it's false gospel, it's false hope, and it won't get you saved, and you need to tell them you're cursed. You get away from me, because I'm going to believe what Peter said when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I received the Holy Ghost, I spoke in other tongues, and I believe that's still the gospel today. I believe this." Jesus warned, said, number one, right off the bat, just don't let men deceive you. Men. Don't let a man deceive you. So, I know we have an enemy. Excuse me.
excuse me. I know that the enemy would love to shut this down. He doesn't want us to hear anything about serious living for God. But I'm telling you today that the closer we get to home, the easier it is to relax. And there's nothing wrong with relaxation. There's nothing wrong with rest. But we cannot afford to pull back on this walk with God. He said, don't let man deceive you. That's human. Don't let any other human deceive you. I started to say, I know we have an enemy. He's a roaring lion, and he goes about seeking whom he may devour. But you got to be aware of men and flesh and carnal mind, philosophy, vain deceit, tradition. That's all man-made stuff that men came up with because they wanted to make it fit their lives so it would work for them, and then they want to bring a gathering into it. That's how that Trinity started. Men decided, let's do this. It'll match better with what we want to do, and it'll be better than what they're doing, and we're going to pull the world into this. And that's what they've done. That's why all these denominational churches believe that doctrine, because they have been deceived by man, telling them that this is the truth, this is the doctrine. And no, you don't have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. No, you don't have to be baptized at all. You just have to believe. It's just over and over, false doctrine created by man. And so Jesus said, don't let any man deceive you, for many men shall come in my name and say, I am Christ, and they will deceive many. We've got to make sure that we continue in what we have and continue in what we've learned. That's what Paul would instruct Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. In verse 13, he said, in this last day, he was talking about at the last days, perilous times would come, but he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He said, but you continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Men and seducers will wax worse, but Scripture is forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. And his, what He was telling them, He said, just from a child you've known Scriptures that make you wise unto salvation. Don't worry about their books. Don't worry about their podcasts. Don't worry about their videos and all the things that they do. You know the Scripture, and the Scripture declares and backs up everything, this apostles' doctrine that we have believed in. And so He said, you stay in that faith. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means complete, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Friend, that's how we want to be as we see the day coming, as we get closer to home. That's what we want to make sure we're doing, that we're not distracted by men, by philosophies, by vain deceit. We want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can do. Paul told one church, he said, you did run well. Who has hindered you? Who has stepped in and tripped you up? You did run well. You were on the right path. Who did this to you? Hebrews 10 and 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Hold fast to the things that we have and that have been given to us. Hold fast to those great things. Another thing that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, as we get closer to home, Matthew 24 and verse 12 says, and that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Love for what? The love for God. One place Paul said that in the last days men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I know you've probably heard me break that down before. He didn't say they didn't love God. He said, but in this last day, they would begin to love pleasure more than God. They're still going to claim God. They're going to still talk about, well, God loves me just like I am. But there's a selfish spirit in this last day that says, when the things of God start interfering with my personal life, then I'm going to do what I'm going to do. They want the doctrine that says, just be you and you'll be okay. God loves you just like you are, and you don't have to change a thing. That's false doctrine from hell. It's a lie. God does love you just like you are, and he loves you even in your faults, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. That's why he over and over and over, just read through the Old Testament. Read the scriptures that Paul talked about that make you wise to salvation, and you'll see where God told his people over and over, return, return, return and live, return and live, return and live. Why will you die? Return and live. Why will you die? Repent, return, come back to me, do the things that are right, and you'll live over and over again. I want to make sure as I get closer to home that I'm not letting the love that I have for him and the love I have for the things of God, I don't want to let those things get cold. I don't want to let, he said, but it's because iniquity will abound. I don't want to let the wrong overshadow the right. I don't want to let the trouble of this world, you know, dim my light or put out my lights. Jake preached a great message about that on Wednesday night. Listen, the preached gospel, it does not profit us without faith. That's what the scripture says. He says, because the gospel was preached unto them as well as us, but it did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. So the preached gospel does not profit without faith. But faith is no good without works. But faith works by love. And so if the love goes, there's no power to your faith. And if there's no power to your faith, there's no works, and that means your faith is dead, and that means the gospel is of no benefit to you anymore. We've got to believe and stay right with God, and we've got to keep loving God and doing the things that we need to do so that our love will not wax cold. We cannot lose or let our love for God and the things of God be diminished or be destroyed. Paul said in Galatians 6 and 9, after he had talked to them about ignoring and cursing other false gospels and talked to them about why they were not running the way they used to run, he finally says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He said, don't get weary in well-doing. Start developing godly habits. If you will continue in well-doing, if you will continue in your walk with God, we need to develop godly habits. Paul said in one place, exercise yourself unto godliness. Jude wrote, build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What we continue in becomes habit, and habit becomes lifestyle. So that's a great thing if it's the right things. But it can also work the other way. If we continue in it, it'll become a habit. You stop praying, that'll become a habit. And eventually it becomes a lifestyle. You stop reading your Bible, eventually that becomes a habit. You start missing church, that becomes a habit. Eventually it becomes your lifestyle. I don't want to show up for funerals and weddings or for Easter and Christmas. I want to be in the house of the Lord when the doors are open. I want to be in the house of the Lord because I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And if there is something or someone who requires so much attention from you that you can't live for God like you want to, or if it causes you to begin to ignore the things that one time were a priority, beware. Yeah? If it's a job and it's taking you away from the godliness that you know you're supposed to be living in, There ain't a job. I don't care the money figure. I don't care the yearly salary. I don't care what it is. I'm telling you, there is no job worth your soul. What would it profit a man if he would get to gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It doesn't matter how noble the job is. It doesn't matter how rich the job is. It doesn't matter what it is. If it is causing you to neglect godliness and living right, if it's taken away from your prayer life, if it's taken away from your walk with God, friend, get rid of it. Deliver pizzas and live for God. I don't care what you do. Don't let the journey put you to sleep. That's what happens on them long journeys. You know, we got this stupid feature on our car when we're on long trips. All of a sudden, the steering wheel starts going. And the little thing pops up and says, driver attention low. It makes me want to punch the dashboard because I'm wide awake. But I understand. It's like, yeah, I'm just getting your it got my attention. You know, it gets my attention every time because then I have to hit this little thing so it'll stop. Yeah, I think the front end's out of line. It's just trying to say, hey, stay awake. It's aggravating. But if it keeps me awake, sometimes it's aggravating what pastor preaches, isn't it? But if it keeps you awake, some features y'all don't like that you preach, pastor, tough. I'm going to preach it anyway because I need us to be awake. I need us to be ready. I need us to be paying attention because Jesus is coming back. And not only that, we've got a job to do before he gets back. So don't let the journey put you to sleep. That's how wrecks happen. That's how people fall away. I think I'm going to finish right here. Proverbs chapter 24. Thank you, Lord. You can stand with me this morning if you want to. I'll end with this. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. I've mentioned this scripture lately, but I want to read it today. It's actually twice in Proverbs, I think in chapter 16 and then here in 24. But the writer said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man who was void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face of it, and the stone wall was broken down. So I saw it, I considered it well, I looked upon it, and I received instruction. And this is his takeaway. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Basically what he just said in verse 34, he says, when you're asleep, your poverty is going to come like a thief very quickly to rob you. We are closer than we have ever been to seeing Jesus. It is high time to awake. The scripture told me to lay aside every weight and every sin that would easily beset me and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How can I finish my course if I'm not watching the finisher? One day we're going to hear him say, well done. So don't get distracted. Don't get complacent. Don't be overconfident. Keep looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He'll get you where you need to go. He'll get you home safely. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us, God. Today we just give you glory and honor. Lord, help us to take this word to heart. Help us, Lord, not to get distracted. Lord, not to become complacent or slothful, but to be busy, to keep our hand on the plow and not look back. Lord, to make sure we're doing all that we need to do the closer that we get to home. Let's lift our hands and just
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.